Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Singing hymns is part of our tradition. God gave us the gift of music. It is a wonderful thing to confess the faith through song. It is written in Ephesians chapter 5, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There is a prayer book that is found in the Bible for us Christians to pray. It is known as the Psalter, the Book of Psalms. And in the Psalms, we hear frequent mention of song. Many of those prayers, that is, many of the Psalms, were set to music. And after instituting the Lord's Supper, and before the disciples went out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sung a hymn with his disciples. Martin Luther had said that the second most powerful thing we have is music. The first is the Word of God. Singing is part of our tradition because in it we sing the Word of God. In our song, we confess the faith. We sing praises to God, and we even offer our supplications to God. I suspect that many enjoy singing Christian hymns only when those hymns make them feel good. But the Psalter includes songs of lament. If Christian hymnody is simply aimed to make a person feel good, we have missed the point. For as I brought up last night, Christianity is more than a social gathering, and in the same way, hymns offer far more than a good feeling. Some hymns may really shock us, in fact, if we pay careful attention to the words. On Sunday, we sang ever so joyfully, ride on in majesty." Great words to sing on Palm Sunday. But we also sang in that same hymn, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die." Jesus does not enter Jerusalem for a big show of pomp and circumstance. But he enters into Jerusalem to fulfill his Father's will by going to the cross and shedding his innocent blood to take away the sin of the world. Perhaps another shocking hymn when we pay attention to the words is the hymn, "Go to Dark Gethsemane." For in that hymn, we boldly sing, "Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry." We love singing those words of the gospel. What Jesus did for us to take away our sin and to give us the gift of life. But then we keep on singing. Learn from Jesus Christ to die. Learn from Jesus to die. How much do we take those words to heart today? Perhaps in light of the circumstances that are going on around us, people are taking those words even more heart now than they had just a few months ago. But we still have many Christian denominations out there that would have you believe that the point of Christ's coming and the point of Christianity, the point of you being a Christian, is so that you can feel good, so that you can live a happy life now, and so that your life can be comfortable. But would God need to send his Son to the cross just so that you can feel good, be happy, and have a comfortable life? Would God see to it that his Son would be nailed to the cross so that you can just simply enjoy some fleeting things in the present? Now, of course, if you feel good, if you are happy, if you have a life that is somewhat comfortable, that is wonderful. We praise God for it. But that's not why he came. He came to be nailed to the cross to shed his innocent blood, to suffer the wrath of God, to be forsaken by our Father in heaven, to bear our sins in his own body in order to make satisfaction for our sin. What the Father did to his Son demonstrates what God thinks about our sin. What Jesus endured, and I'm not simply talking about the fact that he was beaten and that he died on a cross, but what he endured was the wrath of God. He suffered the wrath of God. So what he endured with the wrath of God, being forsaken by his Father in heaven, demonstrates what God thinks of our sin. Our sin is not simply a little mistake or a casual weakness, but our sin is damning, and it can separate us from God. Because of our sin, we not only deserve pestilence and famine, poverty and hardship, but we also deserve eternal punishment in hell. Yet God in his mercy wanted to have something better, far, far better than what we deserve. And that is why he sent his Son. And that is why Jesus went to Jerusalem to go to the cross and pay for our sin, to give us the gift of everlasting life, to reconcile us to our Father in heaven, to open the gates of heaven to all of us. In order to receive these blessings, we need to be justified. We need to be forgiven. We need to be set free of our sin. We need to be declared righteous. To receive this justification, atonement needed to be rendered for our sins. And since we are already soiled with sin, we are not the ones who can make that payment necessary. But Jesus could. And so he became man, to bear our sin in his body and to suffer in our behalf, to pay for our sins and grant us the gift of everlasting life. What Jesus accomplished on Good Friday is truly remarkable. We can never repay him for his willingness to die on our behalf. But that is also why we call this day good. It would not have been good if God the Son simply died. But it is good because he died for you. For you. He took away your sin to grant you the gift of everlasting life and salvation. We pray for these blessings when we pray, but deliver us from evil. For we pray in this petition in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Learn from Jesus Christ to die. We pray that God would grant us a blessed end and take us to himself in heaven. How does he do this? By sending his Holy Spirit, who works faith in us. But how does the Holy Spirit work faith in us? Through the word, which is proclaimed to us. Through the visible word of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Through the absolution. Through the sacred scriptures. Through the preaching of the word. God works faith in us, through this word. So Jesus, when he declared, "It is finished," on the cross, he paid for the sins of the entire world. But then that forgiveness needs to be appropriated to us individually, and that is done through the word, as the Holy Spirit is present to bless through this word and works faith in us. And that also means that those who are outside of the word, no matter how much we may find them to be upstanding people, if they are not in this word, they will not die a blessed death. For all who die apart from their Savior will be condemned. We don't simply pray, "Deliver me from evil." But in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Deliver us from evil." We are not only praying for ourselves, but we are also praying for others, including loved ones who may not any longer know Christ. During these trying and uncertain times marked by COVID-19, we are certainly praying for the health and well-being of our loved ones. There is little that is more difficult than for us to endure the death of a loved one. The normal order is not for us to bury our children or our grandchildren. However, we were not meant to bury our parents or our spouses either. Death is not part of God's perfect creation. Death is the result of sin, for the wages of sin is death. And while we grieve and weep when loved ones die, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Even Jesus wept as Lazarus had died. But we know that we will not be separated from our loved ones who die in the faith forever. In fact, we even join them in Holy Communion, for there is one church in heaven and on earth. And when Jesus comes, we will live with them forever. We will be able to see and to hug our loved ones again. All of this is possible because Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. But without this forgiveness, we would all suffer eternal death. And so we keep on praying, "Deliver us from evil." In fact, the greatest evil is not to endure the death of a loved one, but it is when they die apart from the Christian faith. Those who are not Christian are already spiritually dead. They are lost to us already, even if we are pretending that they are not. We do not have the same union with those who are close to us, who are not of the body of Christ, as we do with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So do not make excuses for their unbelief or pretend that all is fine with them just because they're special to you, and therefore you think God should somehow give them a special way to salvation. Instead, pray for them that they will be delivered from that evil, and teach them God's word. By doing these two things, praying for them and teaching them the word of God, you are placing them in God's hands, and you are placing God's word into their ears. Be bold in your witness of this faith. Do not stop, for that is how you love them in Christ. Not only did Jesus weep at the death of Lazarus, whom he would raise from the dead, but as we heard in our reading from Hebrews 5, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. It is recorded in the scriptures many times that Jesus retreated to pray. He prayed on the night of his betrayal. You can see it an entire chapter in the Gospel of John of a prayer that he makes in John chapter 17. He goes out to Gethsemane where he continues to pray and his disciples are fallen asleep. And his Father heard him as he prayed. That is, God the Father heard the prayers of God the Son. And because you have been adopted into God's family by the waters of holy baptism, because you've been added into his own into the family of God, because Jesus is now your brother through the redemption that he brings to you, this means that just as the Father heard the prayers of God the Son, so also the Father hears your prayers, for you are God's child as well. And he answers your prayers according to his good and gracious will. Now you might wonder, why would Jesus need to retreat to pray? Since he's the Son of God, since he was perfect, what petitions would he have to bring? In John 17, in that high priestly prayer that I had referenced a moment ago, he prayed for us, for his church. But also consider what is written also in our reading from Hebrews 5. It is written, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is sent into this world. He is perfect. He did nothing wrong. He deserves nothing bad happen to him. Unlike us, we deserve all sorts of bad things to happen to us. And yet, what happened to Jesus? He suffered here on earth. He pointed out that he, as the Son of Man, has no place to lay his head. King Herod tried to kill him when he was but a baby. When he preached the word to his hometown, they rejected him. They picked up stones to try to kill him in John 8. He rides into Jerusalem, and the chief priests and the scribes become indignant. He is ridiculed, he is mocked, he is beaten, as we will soon hear in our Passion reading from St. John's Gospel. He learned obedience through what he suffered, and he prayed. There's no poison in the cup of suffering that God sends to us. So we take up our crosses and we follow him. We willingly endure whatever he may send to us. It may be difficult and we may shed tears, but God has a purpose in all of it. He has a plan. And he teaches us to endure suffering. For even in our suffering, that cannot separate us from his love. As it is written, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. That can be said of our Savior when he suffered on the cross. This was his hour, and he declared, "It is finished." He fulfilled his Father's will, he perfectly kept the law, and he offered the perfect payment for our sin. His suffering, as difficult as it was, had a purpose. And it is so that you can go to the Father, so that you can be saved of your sin, and so that you can be a dear child of God. For he is the source of eternal salvation in him is life. For death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus delivers you from evil and gives you life and salvation. You shall live as he also lives. And so we continue to sing our praises, confessing the name of the Lord, and singing boldly those words that may sometimes shock us. Jesus declared, "It is finished." And he breathed his last and gave up his spirit. And in that act, he paid for the sins of the world, including yours. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.